Get a full body reset anywhere you go with Dr. Teal's Magnesium Spray. It's a concentrated magnesium blend of pure Epsom and Dead Sea salts, all bundled up in a convenient on-the-go bottle. A few quick sprays will relax your body and mind and keep you feeling recharged all day long. It's wellness you can feel, and you can find it in your local bath aisle. Dr. Teal's. Yep, you needed that.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online, After Midnight.
When he was 13, Caleb thought the paranormal was something you could stumble into by accident. He didn't grow up in a haunted house. There were no family stories passed down, no warnings from parents or grandparents. His interest came from the same place most teenage fascinations did. Late-night television, internet forums, and the thrill of believing that something hidden might reveal itself if you knew how to look. His best friend lived just outside Mineral Point on a property large enough that parts of it felt forgotten. Old trees, uneven ground, structures that had outlived their usefulness and were left to rot rather than be torn down. Even before Caleb and his friend ever mentioned ghosts, there were places on that land that felt off in a way neither of them could quite articulate. They didn't talk about fear back then. They talked about proof. One night after watching a ghost hunting show that focused on EVP recordings, the idea felt too easy not to try. All it required was patience and a tape recorder. They didn't expect much. They were 13. Hope came cheap. They set up in one of the quieter spots on the property and asked questions into the dark. Ordinary questions, names, dates, requests for signs. After an hour, they listened back. Nothing, no whispers, no anomalies, just the sound of their own voices and the ambient hum of the night. They were disappointed but not discouraged. If anything, the failure made them more determined. The next night, they chose a different location. Behind the house stood an old stone building, partially collapsed, its original purpose long forgotten. It looked like something that had once been useful, storage, maybe a cellar, but now existed only because no one had bothered to remove it. It was darker there, quieter, the kind of place that felt like it absorbed sound instead of reflecting it. They set the recorder down and asked their questions again. The session felt longer this time, though the questions didn't change. When they finally stopped recording and went back inside, neither of them expected results. They listened anyway, more out of routine than hope. The tape was quiet for most of it. Near the very end, something changed. At first, it sounded like interference, a muffled sound buried beneath static. They leaned closer, replayed the section, adjusted the volume. The sound grew louder, clearer, as if something was moving closer to the microphone. Then it stopped. For a second, there was silence so complete, it felt deliberate. And then, unmistakably, a voice rasped out a single phrase. Help me! They didn't speak for a long time after that. The words didn't echo. They weren't distorted. They didn't sound like either of them. The voice was tired, strained, and close enough that it felt personal. Caleb remembers the way his stomach dropped, the sudden certainty that whatever curiosity had fueled them was no longer harmless. They shut the recorder off and went inside without another word. Nothing happened that night. No sounds, no movement. No follow-up. That almost made it worse. The fear didn't come from what happened next. It came from the knowledge that something had already happened and they couldn't undo it. In the days that followed, Caleb tried to rationalize the recording. Audio bleed, radio interference, someone passing nearby. Each explanation felt weaker than the last, not because it was impossible, but because none of them fit how intentional the voice had sounded. And then things started happening to him. Not immediately, not dramatically, just enough to notice. The first incident happened at home, nowhere near his friend's property. Caleb was sitting at his computer late one evening when he caught movement out of the corner of his eye. Someone crossed the hallway from the bathroom toward his bedroom, quick, purposeful. When he checked, the hallway was empty. That was when the feeling hit him. Not fear, exactly. More like awareness, the sense that he was no longer alone, even though logic told him he was. It passed after a few minutes, leaving him unsettled but functional. He didn't tell anyone. He told himself it was coincidence, fatigue, imagination filling in gaps left by that recording. He wanted the explanation to be ordinary because the alternative felt like something he wasn't prepared to deal with. But the ordinary explanations didn't last. At first, Caleb tried to convince himself that whatever he was noticing had nothing to do with the recording. Nothing else that happened took place on his friend's property. There were no more trips to the stone building, no more experiments. The tape recorder was put away and eventually forgotten. If something had been stirred up that night, it didn't seem interested in staying where it had begun. That realization made things harder to dismiss. The next few incidents were small but intrusive, the kind of things that interrupted routine rather than shattered it. Late one evening, while Caleb was home alone, he noticed the television volume slowly increasing on its own. There were no on-screen indicators, no numbers, no blinking icons, just the sound swelling until it was loud enough to hurt his ears. He reached for the remote. Nothing changed. He stood up and unplugged the television entirely. When he plugged it back in a moment later, the volume returned to normal as if nothing had happened. Caleb stared at the screen longer than necessary, waiting for something else to occur. Nothing did. He tried to laugh it off later, but the laughter felt hollow. It wasn't that the event itself was frightening, it was that it didn't behave the way accidents usually did. There was no clear cause, no escalation, just interruption, followed by silence. Another time, his father asked him to grab something from the truck parked in the driveway. Caleb stepped outside, opened the door, and leaned in just long enough to retrieve what he needed. As he turned around, he found himself face to face with an older man standing only a few feet away. The man looked sickly, pale, not injured, but unwell in a way that made Caleb hesitate. He asked if the man needed help. There was no response. Caleb backed away and went inside to get his parents. When they returned to the driveway moments later, the man was gone. There was nowhere he could have gone quickly. No nearby houses, no clear path out of sight. That night, Caleb lay awake, replaying the moment, wondering if he had imagined details, wondering why the man's presence had felt so complete. Not shadowy, not vague, solid, as real as anyone else he had ever encountered. Years passed. Life moved forward in expected ways. Caleb finished school, worked odd jobs, and eventually moved to Milwaukee with friends when he was 19. The house they rented was large, old, and creaky in ways that felt familiar. During the day, it was unremarkable. At night, it changed. As soon as darkness settled in, Caleb felt the same awareness he had felt years earlier, the sensation of being observed without any clear source. It wasn't constant, but it returned often enough to feel intentional. One night, he was lying on the couch watching Netflix while his roommate slept. He heard creaking footsteps moving through the living room. Slow, careful. He glanced down the hallway but saw no one. The sound came again. This time, it was faster. Running. Caleb watched as the back door opened in a perfectly ordinary way, as if someone were about to step through it. No force, no hesitation, just the quiet motion of a door obeying hands that weren't there. He sat frozen until it closed again. After that, Caleb tried to create distance from anything paranormal. When he moved back to his hometown a year later, he avoided revisiting old interests. He didn't talk about EVP sessions or watch ghost shows anymore. But curiosity has a way of resurfacing when it thinks you're ready. At his parents' house, Caleb found an old Ouija board tucked away in a cabinet. It dated back to the 1960s, its surface worn smooth by decades of handling. Against his better judgment, he brought it to a friend's house more out of nostalgia than expectation. The session was uneventful until it wasn't. Without warning, both he and his friend were overcome with exhaustion, not boredom, not sleepiness. It felt sudden and overwhelming, as if someone had turned off a switch. They ended the session quickly, said goodbye, and put the board away. Almost immediately, their energy returned. Caleb took the board home and returned it to the cabinet. He latched the door and walked away. Moments later, he heard it unlatch and open slightly behind him. He assumed he hadn't closed it properly. When it happened again hours later, he asked his parents if they'd been in the room. They hadn't. That was the last time he touched the board, and by the time Caleb moved to Madison at 22, the activity had slowed to almost nothing. Nearly a year passed without incident. He allowed himself to believe the strange chapter of his life had closed. Then one night, he and his roommate heard a loud bang. Both bedroom doors, securely latched, opened halfway at the same time. They looked at each other in silence, understanding without explanation. Whatever had been happening in Caleb's life didn't announce itself often, but when it did, it made sure it was noticed. After the night, both bedroom doors opened at the same time. Nothing dramatic followed. No footsteps echoed through the apartment. No voices whispered from empty rooms. No shadows slipped across walls or paused just out of sight. The house in Madison returned to behaving like a house, and life resumed its ordinary pace. That was what unsettled Caleb the most. He had grown used to disruption arriving in short, unmistakable bursts, a sound where there should have been none, a figure where no one stood. A moment that forced him to stop, notice, and react. Silence, by comparison, felt unfamiliar, almost suspicious. For weeks after that night, he waited for something else to happen. He didn't sit up listening every night or leave lights on out of fear. Instead, he noticed how often he paused in doorways, how frequently he glanced over his shoulder. In quiet rooms, he realized that the experiences hadn't made him afraid so much as alert. His body had learned a kind of readiness that didn't immediately disappear just because the activity did. Eventually, even that began to fade. Months passed, the apartment remained quiet. His roommate never mentioned anything else unusual, and Caleb didn't bring it up again either. It was as if the house had made its final statement and decided it had nothing more to add. That pattern, appearance followed by retreat, was something Caleb began to recognize in hindsight. Every strange event in his life had behaved the same way. None of them lingered. None of them escalated into something unmanageable. Even the EVP recording, the moment that should have marked a turning point, never repeated itself. One voice, one phrase, and then silence. As he got older, Caleb stopped trying to force connections between events. In his early 20s, he had spent a lot of time wondering whether the recording had caused everything that came after, whether curiosity had consequences, whether listening too closely had invited something into his life, but the more distance he gained, the less convincing that explanation became. The events didn't line up cleanly enough. They didn't follow rules. They didn't behave like a haunting or an attachment. They didn't respond to acknowledgement or avoidance. Whatever he encountered didn't seem to care whether he believed in it or not. That realization changed how he remembered the voice on the tape. For a long time, the words helped me carried weight simply because they sounded desperate. As a teenager, he'd assumed desperation meant danger, that someone or something was trapped, suffering, reaching out. As an adult, he understood that desperation didn't always require response. Sometimes it was just expression. He thought about how often people spoke into silence without expecting an answer. How many messages went unanswered without consequence? How many moments passed without resolution and still managed to exist meaningfully? The voice hadn't asked for Caleb specifically. It hadn't said his name, and it hadn't returned. That distinction mattered. Caleb realized he had never felt compelled to act after any of the events. He wasn't warned, he wasn't threatened, he wasn't instructed. The experiences didn't guide him toward belief or disbelief. They simply occurred, leaving interpretation behind like an afterimage. as his life settled into something more predictable. Steady work, familiar routines, ordinary responsibilities. The paranormal experiences became memories rather than concerns. They didn't intrude on his sense of safety. They didn't resurface during moments of stress or transition. They stayed where they belonged in the past. Occasionally, someone would bring up ghosts or unexplained phenomena in casual conversation. Caleb listened more than he spoke. He noticed how often people wanted their stories to mean something, how quickly they tried to frame experiences as messages, warnings, or signs. He never corrected them. But privately, he understood that not everything was meant to be understood. The most lasting effect of those years wasn't fear or belief. It was restraint. Caleb learned when to stop asking questions. He learned that curiosity didn't always deserve pursuit, and that sometimes the healthiest response to the unknown was acknowledgement without engagement. He didn't feel watched anymore, and he didn't feel followed, and he didn't feel the need to prove what had happened to him. What surprised him most was how little the experiences defined who he became. They didn't shape his career choices or his relationships. They didn't turn him inward or make him reckless. They simply became part of his personal history. Strange chapters that ended without explanation. And that was okay. Caleb doesn't know what opened the bedroom doors that night. He doesn't know who the man in the driveway was or whether he had ever truly been there at all. He doesn't know what stood on the other side of the microphone when that tape recorder captured a voice that wasn't his or his friend's. But he knows this. Whatever brushed against his life did so briefly, without malice and without staying. It left no scars, only moments. And those moments, while unsettling at the time, taught him something subtle and lasting. That the unknown does not always demand fear, belief, or resolution. Sometimes it simply passes through. And sometimes the most honest ending is accepting that it has already moved on.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made, that's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.